Welcome to the Inside Bonnie's Lacrosse Podcast, a behind-the-scenes look at the St. Bonaventure lacrosse programs. Now here's our host, Chris Russell.
Another edition of Inside Bonnie's Lacrosse with Bonnie's women's lacrosse head coach, Leanne Stauffer. Coach, thanks for joining us.
Of course. Happy to be here.
Well, since that Binghamton rescheduled a game, gone on a little bit of a run. The team's 4-1. You've got a nationally ranked top 15 defense in Division I. So talk about the confidence of the team to this point.
We were actually just talking about this yesterday, and honestly, you know, kudos to Kirsten. She's done an awesome job with them. They're playing more as a defensive unit. They're trusting each other more. They're playing to each other's strengths. Their communication is great. So I think that, you know, throughout the first part of the season, that's definitely something that's gotten better. You know, we're getting the ball up the field as well. That was something that we struggled with in the beginning of the year. We obviously relied heavily on Britt for that. But now you got other people running up the field. You got Brooke running up the field, Henny running up the field, even, you know, Kylie, who's a freshman, just being a lot more confident in the clear. And, you know, obviously we have Hicks and Cage, and she's making unbelievable stops, and she's just getting better with every game. So I think that, you know, that stat is awesome to have, and it's definitely an accurate, you know, representation of what we're doing defensively. So very proud of them for that.
All right, let's switch gears, focus on that Florida trip. Kind of a tale of two games, right? Kind of a flip and reverse. The 17-6 win over Stetson, and then South Florida kind of put it on you 2 days later. But in that win over Stetson, you don't even have to look at a box score, really, or look at the recap. I mean, watching the game, draw control, shots. Brooke had a career-high 7 netters. She now has 31 on the season. Pretty dominant performance over Stetson.
Absolutely, absolutely. I think that, you know, it was a Friday night game under the lights. They were in nice weather for the first time all year. So I think that the weather played a big part in that as well. You know, I think the whole atmosphere and the vibe of that Florida trip, you know, they got to, you know, go on a plane, they got to travel down there. We got 2 Airbnb houses. So they were staying with and talking to people that maybe, you know, they weren't the closest with on the team, but they got to know their teammates on a little bit of a deeper level those first couple of days. So I think when we got to Friday, it was obviously more game focused, but I think they used all of that excitement and, you know, those new connections that they had built. And, you know, before the game, we said, you know, it should be a goal that we should want to get, you know, other people in this game. And they did just that. The starters did their job. We were able to get some of the bench in. Actually, all of the bench went in that game, which I think was awesome. And, you know, when they would do something well, you know, a freshman would come up with a ground ball. Peyton Klepacki, who has had, you know, a numerous amount of injuries in her lacrosse career, you know, stepped on the field for her first time. She's a junior, stepped on the field for her first time since she was a senior in high school, you know, and just to see how excited her teammates were for her, I think was an unforgettable game and an unforgettable moment for us as a program. You know, and I think that they wanted to carry that into Sunday, but as you said, it was two completely different teams. I think what we saw from USF on that Sunday, that was the first time Brooke Piper and Fiona had been face guarded all year for the most part. Fiona got a little face guarded against Niagara, but we were kind of able to navigate through that a little bit more, but be able to, you know, and a credit to Piper and Fiona, you know, getting face guarded by arguably, you know, I think by the end of the year, they'll be one of the best teams in the country. So I think that was a learning experience for us. And I'm glad that we were able to, you know, kind of work through that. And as we go into Richmond this weekend, we can focus more on our game plan and not necessarily the jersey that's on the other team and their name. So that was I knew that was going to be a tough one. It was going to be 2 completely different vibes. You know, so I think that that game in particular prepared them going forward.
I'm not sure people actually realize, and you can speak to this from both a player and a coach perspective, that traveling on these long trips is really a team bonding experience, right? You've got the practices, you've got the off-field work, you've got games, but nothing really can bond a team like some of these long trips.
Yeah, it's so important. And I think that the amount that we were able to do, and again, credit to our parents, you know, we were able to go to Universal Studios. So they have pictures and videos of them, you know, just riding all of these rides and spending so much time together, again, in nice weather. You know, a lot of our girls said, you know, for the first couple of years, we went over to the West Coast and we were there for a shorter amount of time. But they said this year was the first time it actually felt like a spring break trip and, you know, with lacrosse involved. But I think that, you know, going 1-1 is a plus. So I think lacrosse wise, we take away stuff from those games. But I think overall, the purpose of going down there was for the team bonding. And I think when we came back, you know, these past couple of games, it showed. And just the way that they interact with each other and some, you know, they have their inside jokes from the Florida trip and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, that gets brought up a lot of the time. So the impact that that trip in particular had on our program going forward for this year, I think they're going to try and prolong it as much as they can.
All right, coming back home and getting that first A-10 conference win over LaSalle, again, I would call it a domination. Dominated ground ball. You dominated draw control. Shots were like 2-1. And all of a sudden, Riley Gonzalez is turning from a facilitator to a goal scorer.
She is. She has, and her and I have had this conversation over the past couple of years. Like, you have it in you. You got to find it. And everybody on our offensive end has got to be more of a threat. So I think that her, you know, ability and her leadership to step up a little bit more. She's not just an assister. She's not just a facilitator. She's got a quick little first step and she can get to cage. So I, you know, we had that conversation for her to just be a little bit more riskier and take a little bit more risks. And it's paying off for her. Her teammates know how to read her. And, you know, those four attackers are working together so extremely well, even with the middies. So our offense, just in particular, everybody is a threat and is growing into a threat. You know, our best games and the games that we have won, we've had 7+ goal scorers. Last weekend, we had, you know, 5 people with hat tricks. So, and again, Fiona and Brooke Piper were both face guarded. And for other people to step up in those moments, you know, Sydney Van Tal, still a freshman, 3 shots on 3 goals, you know, or 3 goals on 3 shots. So I think that everybody, like I said, learned from that USF experience and we talked a lot about it. And, you know, I think just our offense is growing so much overall and they're adjusting mid-game, which was, you know, another thing that we had talked about too, because, you know, I can scout a team as much as I possibly can, but, you know, Kirsten and I both, but we don't know what they're going to come out with. And, you know, our game plan might go to crap at the end of the day. You know what I mean? So you got to learn how to adjust.
Follow that up with another conference win over Rhodey. Of course, this is the first year for that program. And against Rhode Island, your team puts in the most ever goals in an A-10 conference game in Bonnie's history. You mentioned the 5 Hatties and the different goal scorers. I think there was like 8 different goal scorers. That was an important, that wasn't necessarily just a walkover. That was a really important win to kind of send a message, right?
Absolutely. And we had that conversation before the game in the locker room. And I normally don't talk about my experience too much as an athlete in more of a serious setting. They'll ask me some stuff on the side sometimes about, you know, the stuff that I experienced and whatnot. But that was the first time in the locker room, I think, that, you know, I said on a more serious note that it stinks to have a team come into the A-10 when your program has been there from the ground up to come in and show dominance over you. You know what I mean? Don't let the headline at the end of this day read, Rhode Island gets first Atlantic 10 in program history. And I think that that kind of sat with them a little bit. Because like I said, I don't normally talk about it in a more serious setting. So they knew that that was coming from a deeper place where I kind of hold a little bit of a grudge losing to, you know, George Mason my sophomore year. And then VCU and Davidson both came in the same year, my junior year. And, you know, those games in particular have kind of sat with me a little bit and I don't want them to feel that way. So I think that, you know, on top of wanting to make a statement in the A-10, I truly think that they're a better team than LaSalle as well. So I know that they're just getting their feet under them a little bit, but they're going to be a good team in the next couple of years. But throughout the game, we talked about how this, you know, keep scoring. If they're not going to make adjustments, keep going, keep shooting the ball. And, you know, Tori ended up having 7 points on the day and they didn't go into a face guard on her. So I said, Tori, take that as that's disrespectful. honestly, at this point. If you're going to face guard Fiona and you're going to face guard Brooke Piper, you might as well make the adjustment to face guard on Tori. And I told her, I said, just keep going. Keep going. Stick it to him. He did just that. So I think that they're consistently bought in. Their communication within each other is growing more and more every game about the things that they're seeing, and they're getting on the same page about it. So all good stuff are flowing right now.
You know, you mentioned Sydney Van Tassel. I'll also, before we get to Richmond, I'll also talk about, mention Riley Devlin, Maddie Pylock, and your freshmen don't look like freshmen. I mean, a lot of times in lacrosse, when freshmen take the field, they're looking around, they're wondering where their position is, how to get in and out of an attack or whatever the case may be. Your freshmen look ready to go. Why is that?
Mm-hmm, absolutely. I think that is a testament to our upperclassmen, to be quite honest with you. A lot of them know how it feels to not necessarily get that encouragement, you know, from your upperclassmen. It's an awkward, teams have like their seniors and they have that experience. You know what I mean? And a lot of teams are just content with, you know, that being the case. And, you know, their sophomore year and their junior year, they'll get into it. But, you know, these upperclassmen in particular have built these freshmen up and have set them up in practice to, you know, catch a feed under pressure, to set them up for an ISO drive. And whether or not they get it off, or even if they make a mistake and they fail at it, they'll say, do this next time. And they'll encourage them to contribute a little bit more, because they know it's just as important for everybody to be a threat. It doesn't matter if you're a freshman. So I think that their confidence is building more and more every game as well. And that's truthfully a testament to, you know, I'll say our coaching staff, but mostly our upperclassmen, giving them that comfortability to want their freshmen to do well. But yeah, I mean, Riley Devlin, she has an awesome playing style. Reagan Deal has a very quick first step. Hannah is super disciplined, tall, can catch inside in the middle and finish. Maddie Pylock's got a sick outside shot. And then of course you have Sid, who is just the fastest thing on 2 feet right now. You know what I mean? She's just taking off and she's going to goal. It took a little bit to encourage her to do that. At Rhode Island, I grabbed her by both of her wrists and I was like, Sydney, you are too fast to be left alone and not go to goal. Okay. Take off and go. And you know, that seemed to have worked. So she's getting a little bit more confidence as well, going into this weekend, after being rookie of the week. So very happy with the freshmen, but again, a testament to our upperclassmen as well.
All right. So with Richmond coming in this Saturday, they're a top program. They're perennially, he said, near the top of the Atlantic 10. But the Bonnies haven't beat them since 2006, which I was surprised to see when I looked up some history. But you sit on top of the A-10 right now. Richmond had a 4-game losing streak in February that kind of brought them down to earth a little bit. Talk about Richmond and what you've seen from them and what you hope to do with them.
Yeah, I think, you know, as we're building our scouting report, and we'll go over that later today, I think the biggest thing is to not be so associated with the name, you know, and, you know, when you see them out there in their uniform, it's just another team and it's just another obstacle on your way to A-10s. I think we can get too caught up, or have gotten too caught up in the past of, oh my God, it's UMass. Oh my God, it's Richmond. What are we going to do? You know what I mean? And I think that if we can stay focused on what we're trying to do, and honestly, what we've accomplished thus far, I think that we have the mindset to give Richmond a run for their money. Absolutely. I mean, they just lost to Davidson last week, who we've been competitive with for a long time, you know what I mean? Or the past 2 years. So I think that this can be anybody's game. And again, that might be overconfident of me, but I trust our team and I trust the mindset that they have. I trust their communication when they're out on the field. I know that there are certain things that I don't have to say to them now. You know what I mean? So I think going into Richmond is more so focused on us, and trying to keep the focus off of, you know, the name of who they're playing and, you know, get business done.
So specifically, Coach, what's going to be the some of the keys to getting the win over Richmond, another Atlantic 10 win for you this Saturday?
Well, for starters, they have two goalies who are lefties. So we got to focus on that a little bit more because a lot of our lefties like to shoot, you know, especially on a righty goalie. That would be off stick side on a righty goalie, but now it's stick side on a lefty goalie. So I think that, you know, over the past couple of games, they have probably seen that. So our lefties got to switch up our shots a little bit more in regards to that. I think defensively, they have four key players that really contribute point-wise. So if we can kind of lock those people down, you know, and set goals to keep them limited to certain things, I think we can see a lot of success there. And then offensively, overall, all over the field, they're a very, very athletic team, very quick. But I think so are we. Offensively, I think, you know, we need to be aware of them, you know, sliding a little bit earlier to drives and whatnot. So we got to keep our stick work good and tight. We got to get it moving around the perimeter and, you know, find some looks inside. So I think we got a pretty good game plan going into it. But like I said, if we can stay focused on what we need to do and not be so concerned about what they're doing, I think we'll be all right.
All right, Coach, I'll get you out on this. We talked about the mental aspect, the mental confidence for the team so far this season. How about the physical conditioning of the team to this point? About halfway through, we can see the end of the season and the A-10 is coming right at us. How is the team working physically?
Physically, we're great. I'm going to knock on wood here. Hopefully you can hear that in the podcast. We're doing good. We're doing good. And again, kudos to our strength and conditioning coach, McKenna, and, you know, our athletic trainer in Gabriella. They keep this team extremely, extremely healthy. They keep them strong. They have them come in for treatment, maybe more so than they're used to. But the team is healthy right now. Obviously, you know, they're probably a little bit physically tired at this point. I think that we do a good job of staying in tune with them. Maybe we won't practice for 2 hours. Maybe we'll practice for about an hour and a half and we'll switch up kind of what we're doing, but they're still getting a lot of good reps and a lot of work done. So I think that if we can continue to stay in tune with them and listening to their bodies and, you know, providing them with more, you know, mobility, stretching, treatment, ice baths, all that kind of stuff, I think we can continue to go throughout the season really healthy and making sure we're not running them into the ground because, you know, hopefully, you know, we make it to A-10s and we obviously got to be healthy for that. So that's our long-term mindset for sure.
Bonnie's Women Lacrosse head coach, Leanne Stauffer, always so kind with her time and great to speak with you again. Good luck this Saturday, Coach. I really appreciate it.
Of course. Thank you so much.